Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome along to the podcast. Sorry to interrupt the debate that's going on after the podcast is finished. Before the podcast has started. Oh, modern football, Mourinho. Right, tonight we're going to be talking about, what did we talk about? West Ham, international breaks, jerseys, trips to the World Cup. Why the Irish shouldn't go to Russia unless you're Andy, because you love all the stuff that they shouldn't get up to. And then there was stuff towards the end about modern football and why it's all quite depressing. That's about it. So in tonight we've got Andy, we've got Ray Brady, we've got Shane, we've got myself, and I think I'll probably do a double entry on this one. And up first though, we have a word from our sponsors, skillzone.ie. Of course, home of the World Games 2017. Myself, Andy and Steve were just talking about tonight because Jamie's welched out of it at this stage, so we had to rearrange when it happened. So we're just looking for a new competitor to come in and take it on, and hopefully that will be announced in the next couple of weeks, and we can't wait to get up and do the 10 events and prove once and for all who is the World Games champion 2017. Right, so here comes the advertisement and then the cut into the pod.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
Well, so good evening, world. Good evening. Welcome back into the somber surrounds of the smaller bunker. Unfortunately, Ireland's under attack from a nuclear warhead from North Korea tonight, so we've gone into the safety of the deep bunker. Trump supposedly pushed the button by accident. And again, but just in case you missed the first time around, I have, of course, my good friend and colleague Andy Young, one of the co-founding members of the LSC Day Trippers and head of media enterprises. He's the best man around for the engagement.
Teddy Markin,
and he's also a good man for an old scam if you want to lose some money here and there and everywhere. Beside him, of course, is Ray Brady, the man who's invented most of the decent Liverpool songs in the last 5 years.
None of you sing them, but he sings them.
He's all stupid songs, and he's given songs to players like Mario fucking Balotelli, and now you've given one to Chamberlain. Yet Sturridge just scored nearly 100 goals for us, and you can't be arsed giving him a song. So
the fans have. Isn't it mad?
We'll get on to that in a few minutes.
Right.
It's on the agenda.
It's one of the things that's annoying me tonight, right? And then, of course, beside me, of course, is Ragnar Klavan. He's been given 4 months off training at Melwood. Him and Bogdan. Bogdan's actually outside. He's not good enough to get on that in this pod either, so there's not a hope from getting a star for Liverpool. Right, lads. Welcome along to everyone to the Trippers, blah, 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 blah. So, West Ham game. Andy, what did you think of it?
Amazing.
Grant. Right, West Ham game. I want to go home.
Yeah. You never guess, Phil.
Talk into the microphone.
Pretty quiet, opening 20 minutes, and then after that, decent.
Yeah.
Want a quick summary?
That was too long. Like, Andy's
okay, right, okay.
That's it.
Useless pricks. Nothing left for me to say.
Clavo, how'd you get on? You played well that day. Tell us, what was it like playing on the Olympics?
He didn't play well.
No. He played relatively well, right? What was your thoughts, seriously, Shane?
Good, apart from they got the goal, and then probably 5-10 minutes of, Gomez had a dodgy spell just after the goal, but look, it was comfortable enough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't see it. So. Straight up, it was my daughter's first birthday, and I turned on the second half. I'd already had a few drinks at that stage, so no idea what happened after that. Did Sturridge score?
No,
that was a different game. Anyway, so Andy, talk me through the game because I didn't see it. So do you want to?
Yeah, what would you like to know?
Million and I looked the deal anyway.
I heard the defending was great.
A lot of people are making a big deal out of the change of formation, a change of approach. Like Klopp said something about 4-4-2, and people have gone on a mad one now. Should they stick with that? The game was starting off like any other game, like when they played 4-3-3.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like we were going to score. And then they just fucked up from the corner, and we went up and scored. And then, that's all Liverpool need is kind of an early goal. And they were good after that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the timing of scoring straight after they got the because, you know, it was one of those games you're leading to yeah. nil. It feels dangerous when you're a Liverpool fan. And they got a goal and we scored straight away. So similar to the way the goals came for Spurs in the Spurs match, it yeah. kind of happened that way for us. And I mean, that's more than anything that helped us than a change of shape. I mean, we're still sending bodies forward. They're still, like, at one stage looking like it was a bit pedestrian.
Right.
You know, so that's my thoughts on, you know, the okay. the overall kind of picture.
Right, anything different for you?
No, I'm not getting into the formation thing. I think it's all bollocks, really. So, but play-wise, I thought, I don't honestly think we were particularly that good, if I'm honest. But it's the goals just change. I, like Andy says, I don't like us chasing games, and I think when we do go ahead and the team has to open up a little bit, then the pace of the boys up front are going to rip you a new one. So,
Shane, can I ask you, right, an early goal sets us on our way, right? Probably eases a lot of the nervousness around. Look, it is. We've done 3 wins in 3 days. Well, not 3 wins in 3 days, but we've done 3 wins in a week. Given the form going into the first game of that, which was the something game, Burnley, no, Huddersfield, and then Maribor, and then West Ham away was the third game of the triangle. what if for you, like, you know, that quick start changes everything for us, because if we don't...
Yeah, well, the Huddersfield game and the Maribor game are kind of exactly the same in the sense that they both sat in, made it difficult for us, nil off at half time. Mm-hmm. Fans getting a bit antsy, a bit restless on Twitter, etc.
Yeah.
Going, is it going to be one of them days? Whereas then we get the goal after 20 minutes and it automatically means... And then to get the second one so close, I think the boys said during the night in the Fatback Four, was it 3 minutes or something between...
Two and a half minutes between
the first goal and the second goal. So to hit them with that sucker punch, with it being West Ham, a low on confidence, crowd on their back and all that, it was even though you knew we were going to concede, or there was a possibility we were going to concede, it was really kind of job done, really. with the way the crowd got on their back straight away.
I'm not having celebrating we scored from a set piece, bollocks to you. Like, the state of it. It wasn't like really. Yeah. I know it came from a corner, but like, it was a deflection. It was shite. It came back out. It wasn't like your centre half ran and met this perfectly worked training ground routine. Around. It was pure fluke, but you take it.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to see Manny start?
Yeah, that was out of blue. Like, nobody even considered him to be a sub. Mm. Until Klopp said in the press conference the day before that he might be good enough for 20, and that was a shock.
Yeah.
So when he started, it was a bit mad. I'd say because it was going into an international break, he probably took the chance that, you know, he could play, start the game, and then he's going to rest.
It looked like he was never away. His own personal performance, it looked like he was never gone.
Yeah.
No sluggishness or anything. I didn't think he was explosive. Yeah. Just he was quality. Chases your man down for the header to put it out with the second goal as well. Just a nothing ball.
He doesn't even need to have a good game. Like, it's just the threat of having that pace on both sides that makes it difficult for the opposition. Mm. Like, you know, they have to be very mindful of that. You know, it's not as you can't really be doubling up and shifting your shape around too much to worry about one fella with pace. But when you have two, they've no choice, really. You know, they've no choice in kind of stay in a shape and not sort of double up on bodies, and that really, really helps us, you know.
But obviously the pace thing is huge, but I'm even more impressed, so to speak, with Salah. Even when he stands defenders up, he still has a bit to get by them, even without sort of that GTI pace just gone by people, you know. And he's Jesus, fucking revelation.
Yeah, the Salah thing, like, Carragher's come out and said, like, he's already his player of the season, he's on course to hit 25 goals
now, signing of the season.
I think it's gone. Like, and I was a huge, like, and you remember saying last year, if the one player I wanted us to sign, it was Salah, because I just thought it fit how we'd play perfectly, right? Mm. He's gone a lot better than I thought I could ever imagine. Like, to hit the ground as quickly as he had, I'd seen a recent stat that he scored. Well, he's got more goals in his first.
Like, the goals is a ridiculous bonus.
Than either Torres,
isn't it? Like, it's like what you're saying, how good a player he is. That's one thing, but there's no one could have predicted how well he was going to find the back of the net. Yeah. You know, that's.
Everybody was excited that they were signing him based on his form for Roma last year. If he hadn't had that form for Roma last year, and people were just remembering purely his Chelsea kind of career that never got going, they wouldn't have been as excited. Everyone was excited because of what they've seen, what he was doing in Italy. But we're all surprised at how well it's turned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's quality. Like, that just shows quality. How many players have come into the team and fans have made excuses for them? You know, they need time to settle. They need a year, you know, adapting to the football here. Like, he's basically never played English football, really. Like, you know, he's just been here. And a quality player just fits in straight away.
Yeah, the better players don't need any time. They hit the ground running.
No.
Firmino. He's been in for a bit of stick lately. What do you think?
In our WhatsApp group, yeah.
No, but
and amongst a certain corner fans, I thought he was good.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought he was very important how he played.
Is there not a frustration for you? I can sort of understand where the fans are coming from.
I thought he was very frustrating. I understand exactly what you're saying. He's very important to how we play.
Yeah.
And he is torn for the tour goal. It is the tour goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
torn for the tour goal is great. And he turns him. I watched it again today. And he actually goes straight at the two centre backs, which makes Cresswell come in.
Mm.
That gives Oxlade-Chamberlain a space when he does roll him in. But just more in possession, I thought he was very, very poor.
Ridiculous that someone with that much skill can fuck up short passes and stuff.
Just so straight.
He got a ball to run onto as many times as say Salah and Mane did, you know, and he made the balls of it, right? But he's not as pacey as them. He's not. He doesn't. Defenders don't stand off as much on them. They just know if they're closing down, they probably get the ball off.
Mm.
You never really fancy him to get beyond the defender and go one on one with the keeper and use his pace in that way, because he doesn't have a huge amount of pace. But he's very strong. He's a very hard worker. He really puts it in. He presses well, gets around. He's everywhere in the pitch, you know, and he really helps down two lads either side of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, or maybe when you're watching the game on telly, you don't fully appreciate all he's doing.
I said at the out there with David Fairclough that you know, it's one of them things that if the goals are coming from elsewhere now, and they'll give a bollocks that he's not scoring.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. If Salah and Mane and Lallana to come back, Coutinho and I'll start chipping in, then he'll be getting gold stars and 9 out of 10s for his work rate, and no one will give a solitary fuck that he's not finding the back of the net. Wow. Like the chance that he went through on, the one where he went right through on goal and dragged the fucking about 4 foot wide of the goal. Like, I mean, you'd fancy a centre half to score there. Do you know what I mean? His work rate will get him over the line as long as the rest of the match.
Do you know what bugs me? Do you remember when Suarez came in and he was getting chances like that and spurning them wide?
Mm.
And it was because he was playing at 90 miles an hour and he just didn't show an awful lot of composure. For me, it was like composure and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets his head up, he slows down, he does everything, and then he just drags it wide. It's crazy. He might just need a few of them type of goals, you know, to hit the back of the net for him.
But he scored against Huddersfield, so he scored a
header from a corner, and it's probably not one that he can really give him a belief in himself in those situations. So,
well, Klopp raved about him anyway in the press conference, made a point of making sure that when they did ask about Salah and Mane, you need to talk about Firmino as well. I didn't see it in that particular performance, but we do know exactly what you're saying. He is very important to how we play. It was just frustrating at times, very frustrating at times, losing the ball with little or no pressure on him when in possession. But look, the tour call made it all right anyway with that turn.
Midfield. Anything jumping at you?
Cham was very good in the six role. I think he's far better suited to that
than Henderson.
Than anywhere else in the pitch. Not necessarily Henderson. Henderson, I'm not saying he's playing well or anything like that, but Henderson's a good player. And when we're playing well and he's playing in the six, like, people won't be giving out shite about him. They won't be giving out about the side of his passes. He started to show in the last few games a bit more, you know, longer passes, picking out players in over the top and everything else, and especially with the pace. Mane and Salah, if they're in the team, he'd be useful. But in terms of Chan himself and his own performance, they're far better. But far better than any other.
I thought the two of them are very good.
See, I don't get Wijnaldum. I'm not giving them boys now with people telling me. I just don't get them. I'm fucking long enough watching the game now that I shouldn't need people to tell me what a player is doing. To I'm asking people, why is he getting five stars off people? Why is he getting this?
I just
don't get it.
Don't get it. You said shouldn't play him away from home.
Shouldn't.
Yeah.
No. Well, because it is a thing.
It is a thing.
Mm.
It's not like a make-you-up thing.
Yeah.
It's not like a pretendy thing.
Oh, you didn't see it again. You didn't think he played well the weekend?
I just thought he was meh. Didn't think he done. But him not doing that wrong.
Like, you do need...
We thought he dovetailed great, the two of them.
You do need meh players.
Like, you know, he's
very busy. Like... Again,
he's an out ball. If you're under pressure, he's always showing, and he's not like the Roy Keane roar and shout, or even a Gerrard, like, get it to me feet, get it to me feet. He's always available.
Yeah.
He'll take it even when he's under pressure.
But I have this theory.
And he'll keep us taking over.
I have this theory about, and Andy, you sort of went along with me on this one. Away from home, when we sit a bit deeper, which we were sitting deeper against West Ham to try spring the counter-attack and the quick counter-attack to expose their lack of pace at the back, right? When he's sitting deeper, he's still shown in the same way he shows when he's up around the edge of the 18-yard box when we're more or less playing at home and we've got teams pinned back in. It's just his little one-twos and give-and-goes in your own half of the pitch. You never really pay any attention to them because they don't look like they're doing anything. But what they do is they open up space for somebody to get onto the end of the give-and-go, and all of a sudden they turn, they play a slant ball or something like that to release one of our players. It's almost like he's in the assist of the assist of the assist position as opposed to the assist position of the assist.
How many of the other top teams would you say have a player of his ilk where they're just saying he keeps things ticking over?
How many other? Pretty much every fan base you'll say to them, do you know he's shy? And they'll always go, oh no, you don't understand, you don't watch him every week, you don't go to the games and see what he's like. Every team has a player that they really appreciate, you know. For years we didn't appreciate him, man. It wasn't until fucking a while later we're going, actually, hang on a fucking minute, he's brilliant, he's so underrated. Even going back to Ronnie Whelan's days, like, he was really, really underappreciated. It's not till you look back. Now, I'm not saying when Alan's going to go down as one of our great players, you know, the way we recognise Haman and we recognise Whelan, but certainly when you do get to go over and watch them, he's just very busy. Like, he's so sharp compared to, say, Chan in the midfield.
Right, but then we'll put it to you like this then, just for example's sake. Now Coutinho and Lallana come back, who's the midfield then? Who's making way here? We're talking Chan and Henderson.
Chan, Henderson and
right.
Lallana.
Well, let's just say it could be either or, Chan and Henderson. One of them are going to be there, and I don't think...
One of the three more defensive-minded midfielders is going to lose out.
And would you recommend that Wijnaldum would be in there ahead of Chan or Henderson, ever?
I don't know. To be honest with you, like, that's going to be purely down to what Klopp does and how he sees it at the time. Like, we very rarely get to see these things, who's real favourites are. We never have a full fit squad. Like, I mean, people are going to wonder, like, when Lallana comes back, will he play in a 10 or will Coutinho play in a 10? Who's going to take that? But these things work themselves out between, like, resting players, injuries, suspensions.
There's enough games.
There's enough games. Like, Henderson might start one game and Wijnaldum might start another. Like, the player who's the informed players are going to be the one that starts. Like, it's very hard to say. I remember you used to say Klopp never drops Chan.
Yeah.
He never did drop Chan, but he does now.
Yeah.
Because Chan's not playing well.
Yeah.
He played well the other day, but prior to that, he wasn't playing well. That position, that eight, doesn't really seem to suit him. I think you just need to be busier. I think you just need to be sharper. You need to be moving more. You need to be just, you know, like Wijnaldum is. Just bump, bump, bump. Like, it's just, you know, and I think Chan would suit that six way better.
Yeah.
Do you not think the... like, as a conversation, we're looking at West Ham, Maribor and Huddersfield, right? And if you're going to have a run of fixtures, these are the ones that show a bit of progression in comparison to last season, in that we struggled to play against crappy teams. And that's no disrespect meant to Huddersfield, because I think Huddersfield have been very good this season under Wagner, right? And Maribor, plenty shit in that side, and West Ham have been abysmal up until now, and we've put those teams to the sword. And arguably we've had a flip of form on last season where we're handling the bad teams, and we aren't doing as well against teams with a bit about them. So, like, everyone's surprised at Watford, say, this season, right? And the first game of the season we draw 3-3 against Watford. Now, we throw that game away, like, we give away stupid goals in that game, right? And particularly right at the end, it dies and it kills us, right? But at the same time, we're doing something now that we were all calling for us to be able to do last year, which was to beat shit teams on a consistent basis. Now, going, Are we seeing a sign of progression that Klopp hasn't had a plan to go and address that area where we're playing against shit teams, but it's a bit to the detriment of playing against decent teams?
Well, we did see a string of games, kind of more must-win games that we drew, like the likes of Watford. Now, Watford have turned out to be good this season. Maybe it wasn't a real must-win game that you'd see. People would have seen Huddersfield, Maribor and West Ham as must-win games. Like, either side of Huddersfield game, they beat United and they won then the week after that. So they're far from terrible, but they're certainly at home. It's a must-win game.
There's a bit of pressure on that West Ham game with the games that were on Sunday. I thought it was a real must-win game because obviously two of the teams are dropping points turned out to be Arsenal and United. I could have gone either way with draws or whatever. So we knew we were getting close to some of the teams that were ahead of us if we got the win, and it was a really must win, because if we got beat there, you're not in a good place. You're not in a good place.
Well, we're a quarter way into the season, so this is I suppose it's a good yardstick at this stage to say, right, what are we?
Right. Well, just getting back to the whole good team thing, right? Yeah. Now, just call me a super fan if you want, but I think if we played City again, I think we'd probably get turned over again. Now maybe not get a player sent off and lose so badly, but if we played Spurs again, I think we'd handle it a lot better. Like, that Spurs game for me was a bit of an anomaly. Like, you know, we don't...
But this is a terrible anomaly.
I think we'll play Spurs at home and we'll stand a good chance of beating them, as we normally do.
Right.
We play United away and probably draw. You know, we play City away, probably get smashed. But Arsenal as well. Like, we beat Arsenal fairly convincingly. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're turning over against all the better teams.
Yeah.
Like... So I don't think I don't think it's going to become who's left.
We haven't played Chelsea, have we?
No, two weeks time, and we played them at home.
Okay,
so then we'll have played all the teams, and we'd be able to say we got X amount of points. You know, so we've got four points from
second
the four good teams.
4 points from the four good teams. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a point each.
Yeah,
it's not really four draws.
That's all right. We played two of them away.
Yeah, two at home.
You're on about a bit of progression there. And I think the next game, Southampton, we haven't scored a goal against them when Klopp's been the manager, is that right?
We have, yeah, because Origi and Sturridge scored.
No, sorry, the cup game, but we've we haven't scored a goal since that game against them. I think it's in three games, and we haven't looked like scoring against them. Now I know they have a different
Milner
manager.
Milner missed a penalty.
I know they have a different manager now, but they've kind of had same group of players. Bit of a hex.
But
we've got
a Liverpool player as manager at Southampton, so he's helping us.
Do you remember the way he helped us sign Van Dijk?
They haven't been as good on the game.
They're helping us sign him
because they took Sacco. Part of the Van Dijk deal.
And Gomez as well. Jesus.
So it's
mad how many fans were giving up Gomez
to get Van Dijk.
Yeah.
I heard though. A lot of people are putting in saying I don't know, because I'm not paying attention to comments. Anyway, so this the level of progression, right? Okay, and I want to bring it on to the international break because it leads us into some of the other parts of the thing, right? The international break always seems to come at the worst fucking moments for us. Right, so
not necessarily. The last one came after we'd a few poor results. We've had a few good results.
When was that now?
The last one that Ireland won.
Wales.
Yeah.
Who did we play?
We played about five games since then. We came off the back of it. Was it the Spurs game? No, it wasn't as recent as that. I can't remember, but like we had a win. I'm not making it up. I remember thinking to myself, "Jeez, like, you know, international breaks tend to come after we've had a few wins, you know, when you feel positive, like, you know, the players can go off or some of them are staying, and they can just, you know, feel positive about the recent games." But the last time they fucked off under a terrible cloud, as far as I remember,
an ash cloud.
Yeah. where are we? You're asking.
Well, we're in the bunker, like, look around you. Old school.
we're fucking about
4 points off second.
5 or 6 points down on we were this time last year after 11 games.
Well, we had an unbelievable start last year.
We had an unbelievable start. We had 26 points, I think, after 11 games. And we've 19 now.
After 11.
Yeah. And
so you said the other day we're 2 points off where you need to be.
Three points off where you need to be. That's a 76-point season, which gets you Champions League every year.
I'd argue, though, he's rotated the squad a lot better this year than he did last year.
He absolutely has. I think we've probably a better squad this year.
Would you?
Yeah. We've been very unlucky with the injuries, injuries to key players, but I think he's had
that up, Alex, though, every year. I'm saying it, just unlucky with injuries every fucking year, you know. And for all the pre-war, no, we just need a little bit of a run there. We're just going to run.
One of them was Lewis Coutinho for a while, and that was because he was going to Barca. The other one was Mane getting that red card. That's just a freak fucking thing, you know. He was out for 3 games because of that. Then he got injured. What was the chances?
Yeah,
you know. Lallana's been out since the summer, you know, so that is bad luck, no matter what.
Right, but taking into the international break, looking at it, right, so we're 4 points off second. Ultimately, that's where we're on, 19 points. Yeah. Second is 23 points at the moment.
Yeah.
Right, we're in that group of teams that's on 19 points, right? There's about 18 teams or so on 19 points.
So no one's really performing well.
No, with the exception of City, who have just run away. Yeah. They're handling the league title in December at this, right, because there's nobody going to be anywhere near them. What, the 12 points?
And a goal difference is
ridiculous.
159,000 goals for
159,000 goals for
question.
Who did City draw with?
Was it the first game of the season? Mansfield Town.
Tell me
Mansfield.
But it,
just putting our own.
It's Carabao Cup nightmare.
Just to put it in perspective, they're on course for 106 points this season.
I think they'll get more.
It's outrageous at this time. Now, I think after 10 games, they were around the same last year.
Yeah. They won the first 10 in a row last year.
And then, I don't know, was it the 11th they drew or got beaten?
I don't know.
So they're in and around the same as
we've got a listener here and a viewer, because they're not just listeners, because they can see us. It's Red Ray. Has nothing to do with the pod whatsoever. How are you, Ray? That's not you, Ray. That's a different Ray.
Another Ray.
He said it was a Bournemouth draw. And then we've got somebody else in, Robbie of Batch. Everton. I don't know who they drew it.
They drew Bournemouth. Ray said Bournemouth, wasn't it? And Sterling's equalised in the 94th, 5th minute or something like that.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, he's playing against Cherry Orchard.
That's right.
If you look at Bournemouth, you think Cherry Orchard.
Ray's at home on the old stat machine.
Ray's not home on the stat machine. Ray's on Reds Bay. Doing his betting. Like all the good day trippers out there will be soon. On the day tripper section of the Reds Bay.
Did you know all losing bets go back into the community?
Exactly, yeah. So they paid the ref for that red on Mane, says Alorum Mac. Well, they may have, there could be dodgy stuff going on in the background.
What's that?
They paid the ref for the red on Mane, allegedly. Man City. Suppose the viewer is saying that they paid the ref off to give Mane a red for the kick in the face he gave to the goalkeeper. Which
all right,
Jay, the Illuminati, or Trump.
They did. The FSG.
Did you get that?
FSG, because they wanted to get out, and they can't get out unless they pay off the referee. More buttons to be pressed.
Why did your camera do that?
Because they all do it for some reason. Mine does it as well.
Yeah, they'll shut off. And if you're recording on the memory card, you only get 15 minutes of record time because it's meant to be recording a movie and not streaming live.
Live.
So the next thing I want to, international break, Andy, head of steam. We're going into it, right? Would you not prefer just to be straight in and just fucking keep winning games at this stage?
Yeah, I would prefer that.
You know, let's be honest, there's no decent players playing. Decent players playing in these games.
Someone's getting injured for us as well, ain't
they? Yeah. Henderson's already gone out injured today with England.
He's got
a toy injury, so he may miss the rest of the season, given that he hurt his foot last year and then disappeared for nearly 8 months at that stage, right? So Henderson is gone. Oxlade-Chamberlain's not in the squad, so that's good.
Coutinho is going to be on the bench, they reckon, for Brazil, though he hasn't
Gomez
played.
Got called up.
No, he's a
Gomez.
I read that they've declared him as injured for the first one, and he'll probably play part of their second game. They have their second game.
They're playing at Wembley anyway, I know that. I don't know who they're playing.
But so what, if he does play, he'll be fresh, you know, he'll have a game, he'll have a few minutes
so,
under his belt.
International break, lads, is it positive or detrimental to us now at this stage?
Depends on the way the players come back.
I'd always consider if you're playing well, you don't want to break from. So we're winning games. So I don't actually think we're particularly playing well, but I'd prefer it when you're winning games for it not to get broke up by any type of break.
I'd prefer it not to be broken up myself, but I don't think it makes a difference.
Right, that's fine. What are you looking forward to the international break? Or Ireland's playing in the playoffs?
I'm not looking forward, really.
No?
It's the only time I really take an interest in watching Ireland is something like this.
In a playoff.
It gets the excitement back.
If Thierry Henry handles the ball for Denmark at the weekend, will you be on Facebook now joining all the Thierry Henry's a cheat and we need to bomb France campaigns?
Yeah, and he won't let John Aldridge on the pitch for the substitution.
Yeah,
that'll really annoy me.
Now, I will be nervous when the game comes around. Like, there's so much at stake. Like, Ireland being in the World Cup is brilliant. Like, you know,
but Northern
I mean?
Ireland in the playoffs as well. We can support them.
Yeah. it does be great.
Very great.
Like, when Ireland are playing in a World Cup.
But the World Cup's in Russia. I don't know if we have many Russian listeners, and if we do, you can stop listening. I don't want you, right? Like, literally, right, it's the dodgiest place in the world. Like,
it's not for Ireland.
This is the stupidity. Oh, they're going to go over and be big friends. They're going to get the heads battered off them.
They won't. They'll be grand. Everyone loves Ireland.
Except in Russia, everyone loves Ireland. They'll drink loads of vodka. Except Pamba 18, they don't like Ireland.
No.
Or seats in Lansdowne.
Yeah. Clavo, you're an Eastern European. You know what the Russians are like. Tell the lads here.
They're getting battered.
Why do you see them trying to sing lullabies to fucking Russians on a train? The lads just come in and batter the head off them.
They'd be grand.
Yeah.
They'd be grand. Ireland are always grand.
Mm. Yeah, that's a World Cup now.
Yeah, come on. Listen, it's fucking, you know what it does to the country when we're fucking in any big tournament. It's a good thing. I hope we qualify.
The England fans are very bold. Ireland fans are very good. They'll be on trains.
They don't differentiate. They don't over there.
They will. They know. Irish people look different to English people.
And they're singing drunk.
What are you saying?
They do. You can spot an Irish man. You can. You can't. The Russians know that.
So you think that the Russians are going to rock up in a gang and go, hold on, lads, these might be Irish.
They'll see one big culchie with fucking hands, big massive shovel hands, red hair and a beard.
Mono brow.
And he's wearing some shy fucking cat. And they go, hang on!
Where's Aldi bag of cans?
Yeah. And sandwiches.
Yeah, huh?
Sandwiches. Shit, as cheap as beer you could find.
Wrangler jeans and the Galway guys.
Come on, remember the bleeding videos? They went with bleeding GoPros attached them, seeking out the English. They have their targets. So we're really not involved in it. End of story.
They're just kind of volleying people around.
Right. They don't have to go anywhere. All the fans are coming to them. This is like their Christmas.
It's like a buffet.
It's like we don't even have to go. We can just stay in our city. Just a load of us just hang out at corners. They can't kick us out of country.
We
live in this country.
No, they know who's in town. Like, they know.
They know, of course, because they're in the groups.
In Ireland, they're in whatever town it is, whatever area. They know that's the Ireland fans in that area.
Let's go kill
now
them.
Now we go.
They're spas. They're not even going to fight back.
Yeah. They're doing their MMA training. See the videos of their meeting and just punching the head out when they're having these fights.
They're saying, there's the Irish. That's the warm up because the English are coming in next week. So it's like, go down, punch a load of lads, and then do a legger.
Yeah, well, I mean, what about them when they see the Irish lads putting a tricolour on a statue of Ivan Drago or something? I mean, they love us. They love us. I mean, we're just
deeply offended. Think we're invading the country, and then it's World War III. Have you ever seen Modern Warfare?
We won't get any shit at all. I guarantee we won't. Well, we're now. It doesn't matter where you go.
That's because we're not qualifying, so we don't have to worry about.
Don't say that. No, we are.
At least, anyway, the Northern Irish fans wouldn't be afraid of that crack. So. Well, with those lads,
I'd be worried about them.
Just in general,
could be Brexit. No, they might be able to get back home.
Yeah,
you know,
I think the Nordies are up for it. Like, you know,
do you think the pitch is going to be impacted by the Ireland South Africa game on Saturday?
Ireland and South Africa are playing on Saturday.
In the Auckland Internationals.
Ireland play ball on the deck. Look, a bobbly pitch is going to affect the way we play. Give it to McLean. It's just going to run down the pitch.
The pitch in, the Aviva pitch is all special, isn't it? Has half fucking synthetic shite sewed in or something, doesn't it? It holds up well.
I think so. I think it's one of those modern pitches.
Yeah.
With the plastic in it.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be working on it fucking day and night anyway from Saturday.
Or they won't.
Well, or they mightn't.
I know, in fairness, the lads are good.
Come here to the train strike. They mightn't want, but we're not going in. Can't get home. Paddocks.
There's a fellow I know just be out with a shovel at half time and he's very good at replacing divots.
Does he need to get the train home?
What?
Does he need to get the train home?
I don't know. I think he has a parking spot there.
Oh, well, if he has a parking spot, he's alright for the day. Right, can you do a bit? Have you got one of those forks? you might want to bring it to Russia with you. I would have fixed your pitch, buddy.
Yeah, not the way it says the Ireland fans won't get touch. I wouldn't go if you paid me.
Would you go?
Just in case. I was just having to think about it.
I would go. I wouldn't pay all that money to go. If I won a trip, I would.
Would you go as a day trip as
like all that mad shit we see, like coming back on the phones from your mates over there and you end up on Facebook and all. Like, it's deadly crack, but I just wouldn't be personally into it, like, you know, standing in a tunnel for ages singing at the police. Like, I'd be freezing. I'd want to be just home, like, you know.
Andy, your shit, come on.
This is about me. I'm freezing. Let me home.
In the middle of Russia, like, you know, and the police are just stopping you from going. Or you just going, this is no crack, you know. Or on trains, like you're about to be on a train travelling to wherever else.
So the exact stuff that Ireland fans are famous for, aren't you saying this shit?
That's too much hassle.
No, all the stuff that the whole world is watching and sharing and going viral, Andy think it's all crap.
I'm sorry to reach you, Andy. I think it's all a bollocks.
If you ended up putting the ball into the windows thing,
but
get that on one.
Yeah.
Oh, when the lads are on the workers' truck,
yeah,
that'd be good crack.
That'd be a bit of crack.
But being on the train and like a bunch of lads going, I'd be just going, shut the fuck up,
rattling on the fucking drink.
It's in the summer over in Russia, isn't it? Guarantee you, half the Irish fans go over thinking it's in Russia. And you need to bring the woolly jumpers and
duffel
the coats. Jackets and the duffel coats. And they're going to get over there. And it's going to be about 36
degrees. Does it be 36 degrees?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Moscow. Maybe I won't be into it, actually.
Moscow is mad hot in the summer.
All right. Okay. Right. Well, then I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go just to see the Irish lads in their fucking winter jackets, ski goggles, the works, arriving into 32 degree heat in the middle of Moscow. Hell yeah, lads.
Having the boy a big Jack Child and prom.
Oh, that is right. One of the Russia hats. The big 41.
Piss and snow on your face.
Piss and snow at the World Cup. No, that's only Qatar. I'll joke him, so you definitely go to Russia for the laugh.
I go to Russia for the laugh, yeah.
And would you like celebrate with the lads now? Would you? What
I just wouldn't be as in.
Would it be something that you that would be on your list of things to do?
No.
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 I would be into a World Cup because, like, fan, so.
If you get away, if you get an opportunity to,
it's insane.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. I'd love to be there, and I would be right in the middle of the same songs.
I was at the 1990 World Cup.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was 13 in the 1990 World Cup. I went out for the Ireland England game.
Right.
And it was fucking insane. Right. Right, so it was like being in the commitments.
So it's not like being in the 14 is right, so you're a kid. So is
14, you're having a breeze. Even then, I grew up so much in the days that I was away for that match. It was just off the charts.
Well, did you get to see an Ireland game, or were you just over there at the time?
I was at the Ireland England match.
Ah, right. Okay.
The 1-0. Do you remember Kevin Sheedy?
Kevin Sheedy, yeah.
But. Yeah, like the Irish fans are nuts. Even back then, they were insane back then, right? So there was police guard in the hotel because it was close to where the English were, right? The campsite's where the English were. So we're in this hotel. We went to Abbey
Trail. Where was that? Genoa?
No, Cagliari in Sardinia.
Oh, Sardinia.
And,
you're from there.
What? You're from there. No, my family's from Lecce.
All right.
Well, it's
Italy, man.
Yeah. Copertino, just outside Lecce.
It was family.
My family.
What?
Yeah. He's Italian.
Yeah.
He is Italian.
Yeah. 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 Them cunts playing for Ireland. Yeah, I had an Irish Wolfhound once. He'll do.
My folks are flying out to Naples tomorrow.
Right. That's great.
That see, yeah.
That's 100%
proof.
Ryanair.
Bill Casey, a name synonymous with Italy.
That's what I'm called now. Right, yeah. Witness protection program. Married to the mob. Yeah, we were there, like, literally, like, forgetting the match part, like, the match is mental. When you go to those matches, just, and even then, it wasn't like the levels of security and all that you have at them now. There was no fan zones, right? So back then, the drinking ban was in effect for ahead of the English matches because of the level of hooliganism that had been across Europe at that stage, right? So there was a pub in a little sort of shopping complex around the corner from the hotel. So the hotel couldn't serve drink on the day of the match until after the match. And then this pub around the corner could serve it up until I think it was 6 hours or something before kickoff, right? So all the Irish fans bail into this place, right? So when the drinking ban comes down, your man is like, oh, you have to leave. No. This only threw him a load of money and he pulled the shutters down and locked them into the bar. Right?
Proper order.
Well, half an hour to go before the buses were leaving the ground, the shutter came up, a phone call was made to the hotel, and all the buses came from the hotel up to the fucking bar.
Yeah, pick everyone up.
Pick everyone up, literally off the ground. Hanging out. I still have, do you remember the World Cup mascot?
Yeah.
Ceu was his name. It was like the green, it was the Italian flag.
Stick man.
Yeah, it was
yes,
a football.
Yeah.
I still have that. With two Coke cans, because it was a commemorative one from the bar. Right. So it was their empty Coke cans stuck onto a base with the oak down in my mum and dad's house in Wexford that we took. And your man, the bar owner, gave me the biggest jar of Nutella you'd ever seen in your life. Right. I swear to God, it was basically the same length as a toy bone, right? And it was like, fucking huge, right?
What a random measurement, too. About the same length as a toy bone.
Yeah. Well, on the cannibal nature of this pod, you measure everything
Andy's
against the toy
hungry.
Bone. And I was thinking toy bone. But yeah,
just
it was
a nibble, like.
So after the match, so obviously all the madness goes on, right? Now, the tickets, we ended up in the English section in the crowd, right? So there was a pocket of Irish fans in the English section. So with 10 minutes to go, Sheedy hadn't scored at this stage, right? So the Royal Police came in and started to segregate us around, right? Because the English fans were there. And then Sheedy scores. There was about 40 Irish fans. You're not singing. That's what I'm talking about, right? Think about the fucking lulas in Russia, right? Yeah. You're going to match with that, right? You're not singing anymore. 42 about fucking 20,000 English fans. Yeah. So anyway, we weren't allowed to leave. They kept us there and got all the English fans out of the ground. And then we went back. So there was a police cordon in the hotel again, right? So my dad's mate who took me over with them, they're doing these drinking games. But the coppers are doing the drinking games with them, right? So they're doing like swap things. So basically, most of the Irish men and women who were there ended up in Italian police uniforms. And most of the Italian police ended up in Ireland.
Yeah.
That they'd been wearing since that morning going to the pub.
See, how would you not want to be a part of that? You'd be right in the middle of that.
Yeah, but that's not happening anymore.
So, having drinking games, the sergeant that was there, right, he was drinking off against this fella from Donegal, right? The Donegal fella. They were lashing the whiskey over. They're going through fucking bottles, right? Now, I mean, like, this is the thing. So eventually the Italian copper just collapsed, right? Just collapsed in a bundle. So the fucking Donegal fella was like, look at him. Every time he went for a piss, he puked in that flower pot over there. Puking the gargle back out of himself to win the
yes, collapse. Yes,
some drinking a fall right in the corner.
The next day, anyway, half the coppers had to come back up and look to get their uniforms back.
Oh, God,
they all turned up at the station for looking for new uniforms. Hats, the fucking works. Some of the women had the trousers and everything off them, right? It was fucking, yeah, but it pure mental. I remember going over the plane, we went over with Delta Airlines. It was an old DC-10. You'll be into this now. But like the plane journey over was mental. So there's the smoking and the non-smoking section still in those planes. Yeah. So the non-smoking section was empty, right? And it was basically a terrace of people in the smoking section at the back of this plane, right? And it just went off. I've never been on a plane like it. Like, this is like mental. Literally mental.
Yeah.
Fucking sing songs and everything.
Brilliant.
Carrying the cabin crew up and down the floor, and they'll come around going, "We don't need food, we only need drink." And it was just, "Way!" It's like classic Irish crowd. "Way!" Everything was, "Way!" And then the pilot was on saying, "Wishing us all the best and all," when we got there. It was like, fuck, I'd say they just couldn't wait to get, "We can't wait to see us on your way back. Hopefully you'll be England." Yay! Yeah. So away they went. So yeah, definitely, if it's on the bucket list, do it.
I'd love to. My only sample of it was going out to, after that woke up to meet him out at the airport.
Yeah.
And even the buzz after, we were like the Hezbollah in the back of a pickup following the bus in. I was going, "No, gone by guards, didn't give a bollocks. Back of a Toyota Hilux." Followed the bus, didn't know where they were going, just followed them. Just, hey, it was just mental. Mental.
AK-47 from the RAF. Palestinian liberation scars all over the shop. Ah, Dublin in the rare old times.
Yeah, great.
That's before we became a civilised nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we're international break and all that stuff. Actually, that leaves me on. And there is a lead. There was a point getting around to this. Was 1990, the jerseys were sensational, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adidas had some amazing jerseys, including the German one that had the three horizontal stripes going across. And if you look at all the Adidas gear so far for the World Cup, they've basically done a retro number from a previous World Cup for the team.
And some gorgeous jerseys. Eh?
Right, so, lads, favourite all-time international jersey?
I'm biased because I bought one off eBay, but it was sort of both Argentina jerseys from 86. And I have both of them, Lecoq Sportif.
Lecoq Sportif. Yes.
Maradona. Both with the 10 on the back.
Man. Nice choice.
That's Liverpool-wise, I'm old school and I like the forced Umbro one with Hitachi on it.
Yeah.
That's my favourite Liverpool jersey.
Andy?
I know a couple of the Dutch jerseys were nice when Nike came about.
Yeah.
Especially the kind of blue ones, way ones with orange kind of under the sleeves and stuff like that.
That was
either that or a couple of the Adidas French jerseys around 1998, 2000.
Just one of my mates had one now and it was a bit out there, but I fucking loved it. It was a way Scottish jersey that was navy but had faded almost tartan, like it wasn't in your face tartan, but faded tartan inside it. Gorgeous. I think
that
I remember.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm. I can't remember the make. Yeah, Martin Nike was Umbro, yeah. Colin Hendry, would that be the right time? That?
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. He's still playing for them.
One of the around the time there. That's
Stephen Hendry, isn't it?
They're all called Hendry in Scotland. One Hendry and 80.
Around the time of the Liverpool jersey with the white flex, you know, probably the most overrated Liverpool jersey.
The grey one.
Nice.
No, the red one. Candy is the sponsor.
The red one, and it was all flecky.
Yeah.
The white flex, and it was 80.
Nice jersey, but very, very fucking overrated.
90.
Mm. I mean, if Liverpool did that now, it'd be uproar. Like, you know, there'd be people
that was mad. I can remember we played the first game of the league, I think, that year. David Speedy was playing with us, and we were wearing the silver one. That was the first year that was out. Am I right? Would that be right?
Because we'd worn the grey and red one. The one that everyone thinks... The year that people think we wore that kit was the year we demolished the league and Barnes, Beardsley and Houghton were absolutely on fire.
Aye.
But there was no flex in that year.
Oh, no, the crown paints. The one
It was pure red. There was no flex in it. It was just pure red and it had three stripes down the side.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little grey hint in the stripes down the side, and the grey jersey they had that year was the first time we wore the grey jersey, but it was just had the sort of three sort of embedded stripes in it, and again it was a red.
There was a grey crown paints jersey.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
They had pretty much identical candy version.
Exactly.
Because back then
that was the follow. That
you
was
didn't
the follow
change your jersey every season.
It was every 2 years they used to change.
Even
the design.
Back then it was 3 or 4 years.
I used to love the full.
It wasn't until around 1990, I think, maybe 80, kind of six onwards, like it was every two, but they seemed to have the same jersey for a few seasons back then. But they went from having a crown paints grey jersey playing to a grey jersey in candy, and then it wasn't until the time they changed after that.
The flex come in. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, there's two common incorrect perceptions, right? The year we won the double is not the jersey that everyone thinks it is, because crown paints was in a single line the year we won the double. And the jersey that everyone associates with the double is the one that has the crown paints on a double line. I think they changed it for the FA Cup final because they were wearing the next season.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Ah. Yeah, because I have a recreation of that, like a Kenny yeah. special, and that was had double line. But if you look at them all season,
yeah, it was a single line.
Yeah.
It's crown and has paints going across.
Kenny's famous goal against Chelsea.
The one that clinched the double was a single line across the jersey itself.
And they would have worn that for a couple of years.
And they also had a special commemoration jersey for the following season, which had double winners 85-86 right, around the crest itself, which they lost the League Cup final in 87.
What year was the... Now, I loved that as the full kit when we wore the white jersey with the black shorts.
That was 86, 87.
That was crown paints on the jersey. Yeah. Now, right,
but that black shorts, the black shorts was only worn against Luton and against United.
Nicer than any other combo.
They sold it because I still have the gear.
They're not wearing the black shorts. No, remember they lost the FA Cup final in 77.
They
wore black shorts because
we were playing United.
Yeah.
They used to always bring the black shorts. The black shorts used to always be taken out when they had to play United because United had white shorts. So you weren't. It was to prevent because of the black and white televisions back then. Whereas nowadays it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Remember the keepers used to wear the same gear from waist down.
From waist down, yeah.
So just more or less the same from the top up as well, because it was always a green jersey. Imagine if you're just going up for a corner now, like a keeper going up and just grabbing and throwing in the back of the neck. Ref wouldn't have had a clue, just run off. Which one was that? But anyway, so it's taken on the retro jersey vibe, because it was one that we put out there saying, what was your favourite jersey? What was your most underrated jersey, right? So there is this nostalgia back to those Adidas sort of 85 to 90 jerseys that were made. Then there's the fucking horror show that goes on from 1990 to maybe 2016, right? So there's like literally nothing worth talking about then. Or is there?
From just...
So I'd say, for me, the 2008-2009 jersey, that red Adidas one.
Yes, yeah. I hated one that a lot of people like, and that was the, I think it was our first year back with Adidas when Colin Moore would have been playing.
The cricket collar.
Yes, I hated the collar, and I could never, even though I loved the rest of the jersey, been able to take it off.
Yeah. The
cricket collar was vile.
I loved the, I didn't have the full kit. I might have had the full kit. We won the Coca-Cola Cup 95 with Fowler 23 in the back of it. I had the three lions come up from the bottom.
Yes, did you like that?
Oh, I loved that one.
Hated it.
That was loved. The one would have been the away strip in that, wasn't it?
I loved at the time.
It
looking
black
back
shorts,
now,
with green bits. Yeah.
Back at the time now, it was two Middlesbrough. The red one.
Yeah.
The green, they can do whatever they want.
The one Torres wore the first season he came.
Yeah.
That was a nice Adidas jersey. I know what you're saying. From 1990 to now, like they've just fluked a few good
Reebok,
jerseys.
Yeah, Reebok pulled out one that we had at their first Champions League
jersey,
and it's
near
an almost
perfection.
A ready pink color now. It's a weird shade of red, but
thinking
still nice.
So you're thinking the first one
we would have wore it. I remember it was 2011, wasn't it?
Had the crest in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. But I always remember they were wearing it the night we played Boa Vista, which was the night of September 11th. We actually played them in the Champions League. 2001.
It was
a specialised Champions League jersey. We didn't wear it in the league, didn't we?
And it was gold.
Was in the middle.
The right went to gold on the Carlsberg was in gold on it.
They had a couple of Champions League jerseys with Reebok.
The other one was my underrated jersey.
I think the one that I saw, was that the one you tweeted?
Yeah.
Yeah, another one.
And someone replied, the bogey about that was, it was an iron on crest. So it did take a lot away from it, but that was a quality jersey.
Warriors' first home jersey was a great effort.
That was the
kind of cottony material.
Yeah, it was a funny material.
In terms of how it looked.
Oh, wait, oh, no, was it?
Yeah. No.
No.
It was 13-14.
Yeah, it was Suarez's fourth season,
I think. That was it. The collar was short.
No, Suarez was already.
It was Rogers'
second
season.
Rogers' fourth season.
So it was 13-14. Yeah. But, so, underrated, you go for that.
Yeah, certainly that. Or else, there's been a good few yellow efforts. I always like a Liverpool yellow away. And the same season they wore that, the Torres fourth season.
Yeah.
They wore an identical jersey, like where they. The red was yellow, and then the white was red.
I loved it.
In general, right? If you 90% of fans, anytime any of these go up or people tweeting, you know, there's a lot of sort of graphic designers out there, and they invent their own kits. And 99.9% of people that look at it seem to love the plain design. So who at the kit manufacturers decides to fuck things up and go a bit mental when most of the fans seem to want yeah, playing colours.
Can I say something?
What's the buzz with going a bit mental and throwing zigzags and lightning?
You never pay attention to fans. Fans are fucking idiots.
But fans are the ones buying the fucking thing that they're trying to sell.
Fans are the way everyone will be sacked and everyone will be gone at this stage. But so you just ignore them.
Talking about purchasing products here now. So
who's going to wear a jersey?
Yeah, but there has to be...
No one wears a jersey.
Well, if you're over 30, you shouldn't wear a jersey.
You shouldn't have a name in the back of your jersey. Not wearing a jersey.
Nah, man. Bollocks. You should there be on a list be, if you're wearing a jersey over 30.
Like, if they have a long-term marketing plan, they have to throw
it. You should be on a list if you're wearing a jersey over 30.
There's something wrong with it. They're designed for kids and people who want to play for the club. And people have to play for the club.
I fucking love wearing jerseys. Fuck it.
I know, yeah.
Fuck it.
Hang on a second, just to make a phone call.
There has to be a long-term plan when they're designing the jerseys. If they have the same playing jersey every year, it's not going to work. People get bored of it. They know if they throw in a playing jersey every 5 years,
big seller,
they're going to sell like fuck. So,
like this year's one.
I'm a big fan of the orange one this year. We wore it the other day. I think it's great. That's the one.
I wouldn't wear it around like that. And I think when I've seen it in the shops, it doesn't look great. But on the pitch, it looks brilliant.
I love the one that they released just as a special. What would you say?
The blue and white one?
No, the jet black one.
It's the standard corrupted one.
Huh? Everything's black, and the sponsor now is just a faded grey.
I like the orange tons of gear this year. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
For the 125th anniversary, they're releasing every jersey over the 125 years. they should do.
Do you remember there was uproar they wore a blue jersey?
Yeah, I love that.
The Adidas one.
Yeah, which one was that?
It was going back.
Was it the last year, Rafa?
I think Torres wore it anyway. Anyway, it was a blue away, but it had the same colours, blue and like a light blue.
Gorgeous.
I remember Mascherano wearing it. That was white.
So do you know why that was?
No.
Because the biggest selling jersey in the world at that few years beforehand was the Argentina jersey.
Oi.
And Adidas made it. So they went and says, Let's use the same colour scheme. Because that's a colour scheme that appealed. So there's certain trends like in colours that people go for a while. Did you know it was like loads of jerseys?
Colours I can put up with. I'm talking more so these fucking mad, strange designs that you
just
saying, why?
Wars kit.
Wars Liverpool kit.
Yeah.
I tested that one with the cricket neck, even though I have to say,
one of the ones I despised was the first one after the run of amazing kits at the end of the 80s. That horrible fucking abomination of a red thing with the three white stripes over the shoulder and the three white stripes. When you look back at it now, it's the end of the 80s, start of the 90s.
As I said to you this morning,
we went from John Barnes to Mike Hooper. That's all I can think when I see that kid. I see Mike Hooper.
Yeah, Adidas played with those.
Remember the training gear that went along with that?
Yeah.
Even though the away kit was a dark bottle green.
Yeah.
The training kit was this light. Do you remember the red and green?
Brookside.
Brookside.
Jimmy Cargill.
It was around the time Brookside came on the television, and they're all wearing those Scandi tracksuits. And Adidas decided we're going to go. Although it is worth saying that the amount of people who were born to death because of the material in those tracks. They're fucking terrible. I remember when I used to smoke, like back then, I was about 12, but like the amount of holes that you used to get in them because you couldn't let the ash drop in them because it just melted straight away.
Hot rock boards.
Bombers all over.
Yeah. pretty much any of the Warrior tour jerseys, awful.
Or special.
Every single one of them. Shy.
The purpley one, do you remember that?
The black and purple one. I think that's one in for underrated because that's just mental. It's like literally, just do everything, put every design you can think of.
See me when Warrior came in the scene, like they were saying, like in different articles, we have to bring in the best designers, a fella from Adidas, a fella from Nike, like they're all getting together and they're going to make the best jerseys. And they made the worst. Since they went back to New Balance, they've been alright.
Outside the first one, as I said, the first one was decent enough. Right, taking it on. So anyway, your worst jersey was any of the Warrior One tour jerseys.
Yeah.
Right? That was your cricket jersey.
Yeah.
Ragnar.
That's
the bottle green one that yourself and Ray screwed. That was cat. Even though I had it.
Oh, you still have it, yeah. Terrible.
There is lots of nominees for that one.
And probably me, but can I just say that's one that jumps out at me, the old Norwich Fleck here. I said that's one of the worst jerseys I fucking hate
Jeremy
that
Goss.
Jersey.
Yeah.
The one that just looks like
that
fucking.
He scored the last goal ever in front of the old cop.
I couldn't give it.
Was it Robert Fleck scored that penalty? Mike Cooper's wearing that stupid gear.
Jesus, it was terrible gear.
Yeah,
was Sutton being playing with him then at the time? Chris Sutton. Yeah,
Sutton was.
Jeremy Goss.
The United we missed out on the United Invisible gear. That will always go down as legend. And then we wore the grey jersey, but we weren't
invisible. Like, Newton Heath one then as well with the strings on the neck, remember?
Oh, fuck, they produced
actually underrated jersey. The grey jersey we wore in 08-09 when we hockeyed United 4-1 in Old Trafford. Yeah. That just brings back great memories. Yeah. Mm. Torres's thing and the whole lot. See, you relate memories to jerseys.
Every time I think of
See, I hated Julio, so every time I think of Reebok, I think of Julio, so I just don't have any.
You've never said, Phil.
New Balance and Warrior haven't done a grey jersey, have they?
No, they're overdue to do one.
Could be one.
Mm. Especially with the retro vibe that New Balance
done a lot of black ones, like our half black ones.
If New Balance are listening, and I know it's a person, just Mr. New Balance.
Mr. Balance.
Yeah, don't change the colour of that jersey. You can change the design or whatever, just don't change
because
the colour.
They'll come back with that again. A little
for the 150 year celebration.
The 300 year.
Yeah, that's the deep red just for special times.
The Dutch gear in Euro 88, I was a big fan of that. You know, it was kind of a rock.
Said that, yeah.
Wasn't it the kind of a rock effect on the jersey?
That was the one.
That's when Andy said it. I'd forgotten all about that. That was fucking beautiful.
Dutch jersey.
The Hull of Van Basten. Maybe I'm getting romantic because of that team then as well.
The Brazilian gear. But the older Brazilian gear, the one that was made by Tapa. In 86, where they had the light blue shorts instead of the dark blue shorts. Correca and Zico. That was great.
Because the shorts were like G-strings nearly. It was just different to him. You know what I mean? Socrates, a doctor just running amok.
Not running.
40 smokes
Not running. Having a smoke on the pitch. Yeah, just controlling the midfield by having a smoke and having a look. Yeah, that's grand. Sorry,
like he just looked, different.
Nike are off now, aren't they? Like they, when they came in the scene, they were the best.
They're just giving up now.
Like they used to make some fabulous Brazil jerseys. Mm.
But now they've just now they've
have
just
they got many
Chelsea
to, just Chelsea is it
Tottenham
Barca
Tottenham are Nike Barca yeah Juve are now Adidas Paris Saint Germain are Nike so most of the big sides
City are Nike aren't
they City are Nike as well
and
New Balance of Ireland and Sevilla Celtic and Liverpool and the Colorado Cougars.
What's your man shouting? What's he shouting? The fan. What's your man shouting at the American?
You're not singing anymore!
Over there.
We're all singing over here!
Oh, God.
I was going to crack a joke about the Dallas shooting, but I won't.
Jesus Christ.
I don't care anymore, Andy.
I just don't care. I was listening to Frankie Boyle today, so I've literally...
That's a bad sign.
I was out running listening to Frankie Boyle. I was literally snotting myself laughing with the
brilliant
stuff.
Brilliant, Jesus. It's close to the bone, isn't he?
It's like he's taking pieces off your bone. So anyway, the results of the poll tonight, we're discussing international breaks, so a quick poll. So I asked them, the options were FIFA can fuck off, I love the internationals, not another one, and Lovren. So the winner of the vote was FIFA can fuck off, followed by not another one, then followed by Lovren, and then I love the international. So Lovren is officially more popular than international football, which is a good way to finish this week's podcast.
Done, Lovren, on the player of the month.
Yeah, the player. Well done, because it richly deserved.
Yeah,
richly deserved. Not even going there. Fuck me. So that's it. We had some Simeone versus Big Sam in the World Games since the Everton job is a non-contest. We didn't mention it, right? So supposedly Everton have decided not to continue with their approach for Simeone. Instead, they're focusing on getting Big Sam in. So our thoughts on that one?
I didn't think they'd stand for it.
Who, Simeone?
The fans.
The fans?
Allardyce.
Yeah.
I think they're just desperate now at this stage. I don't think they care. I think, like, that was a massive game for them to do their day, and they end up getting the win. If that had gone wrong for them, then they're probably, like, they're at a real low ebb going into the next international break. So I actually don't think they give a shit. I'd say they just take them, get us fucking up the table.
Worry about it again. That's what I reckon, anyway. I don't really care about Everton. Like, I'd say they're more shitting themselves about getting relegated than they are about winning the Champions League. So that's why Allardyce is a better fit at this stage. Like, let's be honest about it. It's horses for courses. It's like Moyes getting the West Ham job.
It feels like stepping back in time. Like, imagine being like, that's your club, and you're hidden. We're getting linked with Sam Allardyce. You know, that's not the nail. Like, that's mid 90s. You're getting Sam Allardyce in. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's the same with Moyes.
It's funny how, like, irrational a fan base can be. Like, it's not so long ago our fans were slating, like Liverpool for not making, like, not being as ambitious as Everton. And look what's happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
when were they doing that?
In the summer. Because Everton had spent more than Liverpool at one stage. Like, loads more. Liverpool had brought in Salah, and they'd bought, like, five or six players. And they were showing more ambition. Like, it fucking makes no sense, you know. It's just so bloody irrational.
We're signing triple, fucking Sigerson's fucking getting a game.
That's the hope, isn't it? At the end of the mean, we're all guilty of that. During the transfer window, during the summer, you start getting carried away.
You have to put a bit of faith in people who are employed to know what they're doing. They're out, you know.
I don't get the Moyes thing. I actually don't get the Moyes thing at all. I literally don't. Fella, it's like it's not like you can say his recent record was decent at Sunderland and he was decent at Sociedad. Since he left United, it's been fucking abject failure after abject failure, and going to West Ham, who are really in the shits at the moment. And obviously, the manager doesn't have that big of a say in who they sign, because it looks all funny in terms of what's going on there at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, what's he going to do?
I'm not a fucking fan of modern football. Like, you know, it's just a case where you have to accept it. Like, you have to accept that this is the way it is, because there's no alternative. Like, there's no other football. Like, this is it now. Like, you know what I mean? You could go and support,
what about Rocket League?
You could go and support, like, your local team or whatever, but that's shy.
Esports.
Or you could go and support another league. But it's creeping into all the big leagues. Wherever there's money, seems to be just coming along with this safe play. And, like, a real example for, especially for Liverpool, was when Rodgers got into the Champions League. It seemed like the leash was off. You know, there wasn't huge expectations of him. And next thing, he nearly won the league. And it was because it was so free-flowing and everyone had freedom. The following years, like, the culture totally changed. He shit his pants because of the meetings he was having with the owners about who he's allowed to buy and, you know, what he's allowed to spend. And we're in the Champions League now. And he changed the style of play.
Right.
You know.
So, Andy, you've just given up modern football. Shane, I hope you don't give up modern football, because we need you to play against Southampton in 2 weeks. Say something in Estonian.
I don't know.
Say something. You're the shittest Estonian I've come across in my life. No, not even one word.
How the fuck
do you captain your international team if you can't speak Estonian?
But sure, there's my fucking down defender. I do fuck that.
So. You don't talk to anyone. Okay, that's the podcast. Big thanks as ever to the Astro for letting us do it here. And then we've also got a competition coming up with Red's Bet. It's a chance to win two tickets to the Liverpool and Legends Q&A, which is hosted by the Shankly Legends Knights, Friday the 17th of November at 7 o'clock. It's in the Devonshire House Hotel at Edge Lane in Liverpool. There's a meet and greet with Roy Evans, Ian St. John, Chris Lawler, Tommy Smith, Phil Boersma, Tommy Lawrence and Willie Stevenson. The ticket includes a Chinese buffet and live music. And of course, it isn't association with our partners Reds Bet. Always the best odds on Liverpool to win, so get on there, www.redsbet.com, and get all the details in terms of how you can bet, etc. The competition itself will be on the feed on Twitter and on Facebook tomorrow, so keep an eye on there. And it is for two tickets to the event, and it's definitely well worth getting into, especially if you're going to be in the Liverpool area on Friday the 17th of November at 7 o'clock. Okay, so that's more or less it. Thanks as ever again for listening. We're back next week. The Fatback Four Moors back on Sunday night. The Ladies in Red are back next Thursday, and then we might have something in between as well. We'll see what's going on, but that's it. And thanks for joining us in the Retro Bunker tonight. Thanks for all your comments, as welcome as ever. Good night and God bless.